the lock button. It is GloucesterCast 291?
Oh my goodness.
291. 9 away. We say this every time, like we're surprised. For the last 4 weeks, we've been saying, oh my God, I can't believe it.
I lose track during the week, so I just can't believe that. We're 9 away.
I lost track too, I had to think. But yeah, we're 9 away from 300.
After today, it'll be 8 away. So that's like 2 months.
Right.
That's, wow.
2 months.
Right. So that'll be mid-October, right around your birthday.
We discussed what we were thinking about doing. What was it?
Somebody said something fun.
We're off to a great start. We can't remember anything.
Was it like go on the land? Maybe she just said go on the land. We should do that.
No, we can't. We can't record. We'll figure it out, though. It's going to be something awesome. We are joined by Stephanie Tazi.
Good morning.
And Sharon Scott. First time on the podcast.
First time.
New to Gloucester. New to Rocky Neck. She landed in the epicenter of coolness and awesomeness.
It's so great there.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Open arms. Everyone was so lovely. Many of us, Natasha's have a wonderful friendship group. And we were...
Did you guys know each other before?
We did.
Did you recruit her?
She did.
I did. Yeah. Actually, my husband behind the scenes recruited her. I didn't even know she was looking to move out. And she'd mentioned Newburyport. And for some reason, after a cocktail or two, it was... Gloucester, really well.
So I went to Bishop Feminick High School in Peabody, and little by little, all of my buddies, class of 1985, are starting to come. So one moves, and then we're having all these parties, we're doing all this crazy stuff, and now with Facebook, right? The cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, "Are you kidding me? What am I doing in Topsfield?"
Right.
It's like two things all year long. Right? And in Gloucester, it's like every weekend we have this plethora of options that, like, our biggest problem is deciding what awesome event we're going to go to, right?
It's so true.
Like this past weekend, there was the Bluefin Blowout, the Sidewalk Bazaar, all the, you know, any restaurant that going on.
Super fun.
We're always like, which restaurant should we go to? I mean, it's really like, I don't know.
We are so spoiled.
A wealth of riches.
Which always brings me to the fact of, and I was one of these people at one time. Like, if you were born here and you never really, if you didn't go to college or didn't live away from here, you don't have a point of reference of how awesome this place is. Right. So I hear a lot of townies say, "Oh, there's nothing to do," and you're just like looking at them like, "You got a problem."
Yeah.
If you can't find something to do here, then you're out of your mind.
Absolutely true.
You guys are here. This is the second time you've been. Well, you've been here to promote Wednesdays on the Neck.
Yep, Wednesdays on the Neck.
The second one is coming up this Wednesday.
August 8th, this Wednesday, 6 p.m. And the July 11th one was very successful. We had a lot of foot traffic down there.
It was wonderful.
We had music, and it was a real festive atmosphere. I think just to go back to our original point of having these Wednesdays on the Neck is that we've lost some artists, and we noticed that the foot traffic was getting a little light, and
there were so many people walking around, going in and out of galleries. It was wonderful to see.
On the last one,
And young families too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What was that?
Young families.
Yeah, that's great.
So it was nice to see.
Yeah, so we're really happy. So like I said, the community group got together and said, let's see what we can do about maybe bringing some foot traffic in. And we know that we've got competing priorities on Thursdays. We've got lots going on Thursdays. To your point, Joe, about how busy Gloucester is. So we decided Wednesday's on the Neck, and we're really excited about this one. We're hoping the weather looks like it's going to be good. So the types of things, just for the folks that are hearing it, we're looking to have your families come down. We've got lots of things for kids to do. The artists, we've got somebody from the Art Colony that's going to, shepherd the people through in and out of the galleries to help them, maybe get the foot traffic to kind of go in a little bit more, which is a nice
idea. Tours almost?
Say again?
Like a tour almost?
Exactly. They have a couple of people.
So where would the people go to start?
They just head right into Rocky Neck and Park. And
how do you know who the tour person is?
Well, they'll be floating around.
We'll have our shirts on.
Okay. Oh, we have the picture. So look in the show notes. You'll see the photo of you guys with your awesome shirts.
Rocky Neck,
shepherding the people into the galleries.
Shepherding people in and out of the galleries. And, there's three major points. You got the beginning, where you got the cultural center and that whole area of artists up there. And then as you head in the middle, it's going to be more kid-centric, where the ice cream store is, and there'll be face painting and rock painting and other things going on, some games and popcorn for the kids. And then the third point will be the landing of the Madfish Wharf, which even from the last time, which was July 11th, from July 11th to August 8th, you're going to see a huge transformation.
Yeah, I put some pictures up last week. Did you see the pictures?
Yes, I saw the pictures. Yeah. Amazing.
Can you believe how wonderful that's turned out? So, and my cousin Ginger is from the cottage is going to be, you know, having a wonderful, she's not having a big band this time. She's having an artist. I think it's either a sax player or a violin player. Yeah. So she's going to have some really funky music down there, and all of the galleries and jewelry shops are all ready to go down there as well.
You one of your favorite painters, Joe Fish, is down there.
Right. No, he's not a painter. Well, yeah, he is a painter, I guess.
A printer. Well, guess what he has that I'm dying? I meant to go back and get one. I'm going to come this time. But you know his beautiful, you know, beautiful works.
You're talking about the place? Are you going to talk about the placemats?
Yes,
I love the
face. I got them all. We use them all the time at the house. They're awesome.
You know what?
It's the best value ever. Like you can get his thing. I mean, I have one of his framed prints, and it's the big tuna tail and on the blue with the white tail. It's amazing.
And they're Artano too. His prints are Artano.
But I mean, the placemats. I think they're like $12.
And
it's like
yes, and you know what I'm
going to
use mine for?
Right,
my kitty. What,
wouldn't
that be cute?
Don't. You're going to have the kitty pee on the fish?
No.
What's wrong with you?
Put his little water dish
and
his little...
Yeah, that's a smart idea.
Wouldn't that be cute?
It's brilliant. No, it is smart. I thought you were talking about have the cat pee and poop on the thing.
How do things get to that level so quickly?
I don't know. Yeah.
It makes it interesting.
I also think, too, like even some of the artists have fabulous note cards, and I always think that's great hostess gifts. Joe Fish, in particular, has great notes. Because if you ever go to someone's house for cocktails, it's such a great idea to wrap them in cellophane. And a lot of those artists are trying to do things like that, or small prints or postcards. Postcards can be framed. Right. Great gift to just give somebody a blank frame and a postcard. So
I didn't know he had note cards.
He does. He does. Yeah. Most of the artists do. And that's what's so great, because if you're not of the mindset to maybe go buy big at one point in time, you can kind of dabble in art by doing things like that. So so anyway, so that's...
There's hats, too. This is all about Joe Fish. There's no one else down there. But no, his hats are awesome, too.
But also there's that wonderful gallery that is the Cooperative Gallery.
Yes. Oh, Gallery
53, is it?
It's a beautiful building.
Is that part of Rockingnet Cultural Center?
So the Cultural Center is basically the Art Colony's nucleus. Okay. So the Art Colony would be all of the artists are, you know, have a collaborative, and the collaborative comes all the way to here. So that any artist along here, Cripple Cove, the Art Colony expands beyond Rocky Neck. And so that's their nucleus, but the way that they actually man that shop, per se, or that gallery, and they all house their pieces in there. So it's a chance, and that's a beautiful, they have beautiful stuff in there.
They have beautiful stuff.
Yeah. Good Morning Gloucester is represented in the Rocky Neck Art Colony. Not like we don't have work there. We could have work there, or whatever. But like when they did that, the overlay, the district, you know how the historic district or the art district or whatever it was, like it started here because of Good Morning Gloucester is a cultural kind of collaborative thing.
And so
when they were putting it together, they asked, and I said, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And actually, I forget her name. The
Clark, who's up there?
The green building, it's a studio.
Oh, Anna
Wojcik. Wojcik, the illustrator, children's book.
So it starts here and then goes down to Rocky.
Yeah, so that's really cool, I think, because we didn't know that until we got into this committee that the Art Colony actually expanded all the way down here, which was really nice.
I should say that more. Part of the Rocky Neck. We do have works.
It helps for the Rocky Neck.
So anyway, so please come down for those folks that are listening.
I'm psyched too. I didn't realize there was stuff for the kids because I have my daughters on Wednesday night, so it would be perfect for me.
Definitely come down, and I'm going to actually put some kind of a musician on my deck in my house. I'm kind of in that midpoint, so people can see that there's more to go down that way. So we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, Deck, you should reenact like the scene from Romeo and Juliet. Or Rapunzel. No, Rapunzel. You should have.
Yeah.
Let me down your hair. Let me climb up to the ladder.
Abby's here pretty long. We can do extensions.
Abby, you can do it.
We're going to try to. We'll try to get some activity at my house because I'm kind of at that midpoint, you know, where the kids are. But please do.
If you had cocktails, I'd love to.
Oh, I have cocktails. I have cocktails. But my house was.
We made sure of that.
We were the after party. I have some people coming down from Westford that's housing that. So please come down. I really encourage everybody to come and partake. And there's something for kids. It's going to be a wonderful night. The ice cream store is doing promotions. We've got games for them. And
ice cream store's doing promotions.
Yeah, like $1 an ice cream for young kiddos. Which
what?
Is nice.
What?
Yeah. Oh, I'm in.
I know. Especially
bring the whole neighborhood.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's rock.
And the restaurants will always continue doing the, like last time we had drink of the night for the studio, which was really nice.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
It's a good thing you brought her.
I know.
You
wouldn't
have had value added.
Too much.
That's
please.
Right.
Value
added. That's
right.
Right. So, anyway, please come down. I don't know if there's any other questions or anything else I can answer. I feel like I've all of a sudden gone blank on anything else.
But there's the website. There's the Facebook page.
Facebook page.
Have you been updating the Facebook page?
Yes, we have.
Okay.
Yep.
So I'll put a link to the Facebook page. What was it?
Rocky Neck.
Rocky Neck.
Facebook page.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I will put the link there. So any other link will be in the show notes. So if you have any questions, you can go there, and I'm sure you'll be updating as the date gets closer.
Yes, but so everybody, please come.
Okay. Yes.
Enjoy Rocky Neck on August 8th.
Unless I get out of work insanely crazy late, I'm planning to come.
Yeah,
right.
Look forward to it.
And if you guys aren't doing anything at 5 o'clock tonight, Kathy's having an awesome driveway party. She wanted me to invite you to.
Oh, good. It's a good thing you said it now, because the podcast doesn't get to 8 because you'd have the whole city on
it.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
No. That's a great party, too. Who picked up? Oh, Susan Lipset got some ingredients to make something for that party.
Yeah, it got canceled last night, so it's tonight now.
Yeah.
5 o'clock, because she'd love to see you guys.
Awesome.
So, yeah,
that's
so nice. You can cut that
Thank
out of
you.
The podcast.
Cut what part?
The inviting everybody.
No, because it doesn't get posted till 8 o'clock. By the time people listen, it'll already be done.
She's going to kill me.
No. Guests won't hear it.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're fine.
I mean, listeners won't hear it until after the party's over.
Okay.
Right.
Sounds
don't worry.
Well, thank you guys for coming.
Thank
nice
you guys.
To meet
have
you.
A wonderful Sunday, and thank you so much for doing what you do, Joe. We forgot to thank you up front. You do a lot for the community, and
Kim does. All the contributors.
Yeah, you guys do a great job.
Teamwork.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, just like you guys all in the Rocky Neck committees and stuff like that.
Yeah.
More hands make lighter work.
That's right. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I hope to see you tonight and on August 8th.
Thank you.
Take care now. Bye bye.
Aren't they sweet?
Yeah, they love those ladies. I really do. Look at it, and they left you one of their nice posters.
Yeah, I'll leave it up at the dock
so
the fishermen can come down.
Wow, that's great. Wow, there's so much going on right now.
Yeah, which brings me to this topic. It was so weird to me that, like, it was late in the afternoon a couple days ago that someone said, have you been down to the sidewalk bazaar? And I'm like, what? I'm like, I kind of know when it is every year, but, like, usually you see some signage or people talk about it.
Yeah.
I saw nothing.
Yeah,
and maybe it's funny. Maybe I just haven't
looked for
it.
No, the only reason why I knew about it was because I was down on Main Street Thursday night, and I was like, oh, I wish I'd known that this was going on. So
it's kind of weird. So I went to the Chamber website.
Right.
Because I always thought that the Chamber kind of took the lead on that. And so it's broken down on their calendar. It's broken down into chamber events and then community events and then something else. And the community events is just about everything.
Okay.
It wasn't listed under the chamber events. So the chamber must not be involved in the sidewalk bazaar,
right,
at least this year. Because we would have heard about it.
Right, they would have told us about it.
So, yeah, so yeah. I wonder if it's that downtown group that took it over. I'm not sure.
Interesting. I don't know.
But.
Well, anyways.
I hope it was, they got that pouring rain yesterday.
Oh, yeah. And then the Bluefin Blowout was going on at the same time.
Bluefin Blowout, we went there on that. Well, we were gonna stop at. So our plan was yesterday to stop in walk the sidewalk bazaar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always a nice walk.
Yeah, it's fun.
I wanted to go to Nelson's because Nelson's always usually has a really good sale in the sidewalk bazaar for working guys.
Right, good to know.
We left the house and literally left the house and started downpouring. And I was like, oh, damn, those poor merchants.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wow, this is probably really good for the restaurants. Because coming down
there,
coming down this street right here, East Main, and going towards, Sayward? Going towards Sayward, all the beach traffic coming out because it was pouring. So in the morning, it was sunny and beautiful.
Right.
And like 11:30, 12 or whatever, it was pouring out. And so I'm like, it was 11:30. I know exactly because I'm like, wow. I'm like, this is actually fortuitous for the restaurants because people that plan to go to the beach and they're from out of town, like, oh, what are we going to do now?
Right.
11:30, we might as well go right to one of the restaurants.
And then it was like the rain was intermittent, so then they could, after eating, then they could go.
Go to the booth and blow up.
Right. I was going to say go to the sidewalk bazaar.
Right.
And then go to the booth.
I looked down Main Street when it was pouring, and I didn't see anyone on the street. I saw tents.
Hmm.
But like people must have brought their stuff in because it was pouring. It was just a kind of a debacle.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I wasn't there, so maybe the rest of the time they had a good thing. But we did go to the Blueprint Blowout.
Oh.
And I had the best week. I had the best weekend of my entire summer this weekend.
Wow, that is so awesome to hear that. And you don't get to do like when everybody else is playing.
Most people have Saturday and Sunday off.
Right, they're playing in the summertime. You have your one day, and
I get my one day, and like the next day I have to get up at 3:30 again. Right. So it has
to kind of be an early day thing.
Yeah, but we got that. So it was Tuesday night. I was contacted early last week if I wanted to do a barbecue competition at the Bluefin Blowout on Friday night, and they said at 6, and I'm like, no.
That's risky. Yeah,
I said no. I can't do it. First of all, I have to pick up my daughters at 5:30 or when I get out of work, and I don't know what time I'm getting out of work on Friday.
Right.
So it'd be just too much.
Right.
So then Tuesday, I get the call, and they say we want you to do a barbecue competition with your daughters, and we'll do it at 7.
Oh wow! Wow.
I'm like, oh. It just inside me. It's just like, oh my God, this is because you want to like, you know, like the summers fly by, and especially at their age, you want to do these memorable, awesome things right?
Them. Right.
And I'm like, oh my God, this combines
all my love,
right? Like my daughters, my, I wish Kate could have been there. She had already bought tickets to do this event in Boston with Connor, but my daughters. Barbecuing competition at Cape Ann Marina with Warren Waugh and Anthony Catarano's involved and Peter Zappa from the Causeway. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Because my daughters, like people probably don't know, but my daughters, and this is probably true for a lot of families, but I'm not sure, like they watch Chopped all the time. They'll sit there and watch like 5 episodes of Chopped because they love the cooking competitions and they love to cook. Madeline loves to bake. Eloise loves to cook. And they're always we go to the grocery store, they get recipes or whatever, and they do pretty elaborate recipes.
That's awesome.
And they love doing creative we're going to make this and we're going to sell these things in school and industrious little projects. I'm like, and so this, I knew their heads were going to explode. And so I was so psyched. And so the rules were that they were going to, Anthony Catarano from Tano was going to supply tuna loin and Kobe beef.
Okay.
We were to make, Peter Zappa and his sons, Peter Zappa, unbelievable chef that owns Causeway Restaurant, has been cooking his whole life, is amazing.
Right.
Beautiful family. Like, versus me, the guy that has taken up barbecue as a passion, but I do it at my pace, or I rush to make something down the dock on the grill between boats. But so the rules were you have to bring everything. Like I brought my grills down there.
Okay.
And then we had to bring our utensils, trays, plates, napkins,
everything.
Gloves, everything.
So did they supply the
protein?
The protein. And so then did you?
We all the condiment, everything.
Everything else.
Everything
you had
else
to bring.
We had
okay.
To bring.
Wow.
Which was with my work schedule.
Yeah, that's a little crazy.
It was insane. If you saw my list, I posted my list.
Wow.
It's like of things that I had check marks. Did I procure it? Did I pack it? Did I procure it? Did I pack it? So.
Wow.
I had help. Kate helped me get the stuff. She helped pre-cook the bacon. I'll explain what we made. But anyway, we had the best time. And Peter and his family were so gracious, the people we were competing against. And I don't like to be the braggy father. So I just to say,
you can
I was
say.
Just so no no no. I was just so proud of them. Like, we had an elaborate appetizer with this, what we created, which was a like 3-inch by 3-inch piece of tuna. We made the girls made a 3x3 bacon weave.
Oh, beautiful.
They put the bacon weave down.
Wow. Oh.
Smeared, smashed up avocado in the same dimension of the tuna, the squared off tuna loin.
Wow.
And then put cracked black pepper over that, over the, on the avocado,
that
smashed up avocado.
So delicious.
Then we placed the tuna loin right on top of that, squared
right.
it off,
right.
and then folded the bacon weave back over and then cooked it.
Oh.
So it was an bacon encrusted tuna loin with avocado.
Are you going to post pictures of that?
I did post the whole, I posted the whole recipe and a video of how we made it.
Okay.
We didn't have a lot of time to prepare, and I did not want. So my sister's like, "Oh, I have a tuna recipe." I'm like, "No." I'm like, I know she's well intentioned. I'm like, it isn't going to be Sister Felicia's recipe.
Right.
And I didn't want to go to YouTube and find something that someone else did do that and like take credit for it. I really wanted it to be something that's never been done. I am fairly certain that this had never been done.
Wow.
But it's things that I love, and it's barbecue-y, you know, with the bacon.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And
that sounds amazing.
And so then we had a wasabi soy with sugar, a little lemon juice, and mayo dipping sauce on the side.
So could you, do you think,
and this tuna was very rare, you know.
So could you use other fish? Could you like do that with swordfish or?
Probably do it with sword. There's certain fish would lend itself more to it.
Like,
you know?
Like I'm trying to think, like even
scallops would
like
definitely.
Like a little basket of scallops and the bacon wrapped around like a little scallop basket.
That would work. Bacon wrapped in scallops growing up was my favorite.
Yeah,
was my favorite appetizer. But. Yeah, we could have done that.
But I'm just wondering, because,
so,
you know, if
we
I read
tried,
the recipe,
so
yeah.
initially, when the girls came on Wednesday night,
yeah,
I got home from work late, I was exhausted. We went to the grocery store. In my head, I said, let's make atomic tuna turds. You know the atomic buffalo turds that I make?
Right.
Which are jalapenos, stuffed with cream cheese, and wrapped in bacon in there. But let's layer a piece of tuna on top. And we instead of just cream cheese, we'll mix the sriracha with the cream cheese. Then put the slice of tuna, then wrap it in bacon, and then drizzle sriracha mayo. You know how like the truffle, how you would go back and forth over a truffle?
Yeah.
Drizzle that over the top of the, you know, when it's finished
with
a little bit more barbecue rub.
Right.
We tried that. I got home and from the grocery store at like 7:30, and I had the girls, like I showed them what I wanted them to do. Then it was up to them, because I was going to be cooking the burgers to execute this, and they did it perfectly. And it was delicious.
Right.
But the tuna was and we did it to be. What really actually happened is they didn't have tuna at the store. I used salmon. Just to see if it would work.
Right.
As it turned out, the fish got completely lost.
Oh,
and
right.
if you watch those shows, you get demerits if, like the, you know, they tell you have to use this ingredient, and it's totally lost in the thing. So I was really, really I was worried, because at this point it's 8:30. I'm cooked. I still have to clean, because I'm not going to have Kate clean up after our mess. And I was like, I could still go with this, because we could really have fun with tuna turds.
Right.
Buffalo turds. And like the making of the tuna turds with the jalapeno and stuffing it.
Yeah.
Like in the barbecue world, people have seen turds, you know, atomic buffalo turds.
Right.
But no one's seen a tuna turd. Around here, just to have fun with the judges, you know, this is an atomic tuna turd. And they're like, what? You know, can you see Safathia with that, right?
Yeah.
So, and I'm like, at the same time, I'm thinking to myself, we're going up against Peter Zappa. I'm like, this guy has been in the kitchen his whole life. We're the total underdogs. Like, we just have to do something interesting. We have to swing for the fences. Like, really, just we have to, like, just try. It's either going to be we're going to hit a home run or it's going to be a complete disaster. But
yeah,
we're going to really just swing for the fences, right? And so then... and then I remember that I had seen that I remember I had made these things called fatties, and a fatty is like sausage meat,
right,
stuffed. You could put onions and sauteed onions and cheese inside, and then you do a bacon weave around it,
around
and
that.
Then you kind of cook it,
okay,
to temp, and then right, it's like, and then you cut it in half, and the cheese oozes out.
And does it get does the bacon get crispy on the outside?
So that was one of my concerns.
Yeah.
Susan Lipsett came down the wharf. And Anthony Catarano, I was talking to them about it. I didn't tell a lot of people because I really wanted to keep it a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she was like, well, why don't you just partially cook the bacon? I was like, and I was worried that, like, it wouldn't be pliable.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But I'm like, so we. So Kate and I go home from work on Thursday night. So I had one more night before, the, you know, to finalize everything.
Right.
So we partially cooked the bacon. And it was 17 minutes at 325 on a bake, like a, you know, the raised sheet thing, whatever.
Yeah.
And it was perfectly pliable and cooked just enough
so that you could
it would be browned and we wouldn't cook the tuna all the way through.
True.
We wanted the tuna to be rarish, you know, just a little bit cooked on the outside, but really rarish. This is good quality to it. You know, Anthony Catarano is giving us beautiful fish, right? So, I was excited at the results, but the girls had been, you know, Thursday, they go back with their mom, and I was going to get them back again on Friday night. So, I had to give them a tutorial. So, I went to the fish market in town, and I bought some tuna loin.
Oh, okay.
So Kate and I did a practice run, and I took pictures of every step, and I made a little video, and I emailed privately to Eloise the video, and we talked on the phone about each different step, and I gave her money to purchase bacon so that she could practice doing the bacon weaves, because they don't know what a bacon weave is, right? I mean, it's easy enough to do, but like a lot of people don't know what a bacon weave is, right? And so I'm like, the people are going to freak out. Like, I mean, could you imagine these young girls like making four big bacon weaves and, you know, and creating this?
Wow.
Like, this is insane, right? Like, we are swinging for the fences. We're pushing all our chips in. It's sink or swim. And I'm like, I think we got it. I think this is a winner. And so Eric Lorden got me the brioche rolls and the wasabi, paste or whatever.
Yeah.
Kate made the dipping sauce, you know, with all those ingredients. I found that recipe for the dipping sauce.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Very good. Especially, you think, you know, tuna. It's like, you know, it's kind of like a sushi dipping deal, right?
Yeah, but you added mayonnaise to it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. To make it, you know, a little smoother.
Creamier.
Creamier.
Yeah.
And it was perfect dipping sauce. Perfect. I found these Tahitian, like, they're like a leaf plate, and we served them with chopsticks because half of the score was supposed to be presentation.
Right. That sounds beautiful.
So it was gorgeous. It was gorgeous. And the girls...
You have pictures, right?
So Bridget was there. A lot of my friends are there, and cheering us on, and so for the burger, I did my smash burgers. I didn't have any question. I have very good faith I could produce an incredible burger. And it's funny because just last week, I had been researching Ultimate Burgers and how to make smash burgers and stuff like that, and I've been experimenting.
Did you put that recipe in as well?
Yes, I did. Yeah, and so that post, I created a post this morning explaining our experience, and it's probably the longest post that I've made in 2 years.
Yeah.
It took me forever to put it together, but I really wanted to chronicle the experience. So I did a smash burger. So a smash burger, you really, on like a flat top griddle on the barbecue, not too hot heat, but hot heat, you kind of just pull out a clump of burger and you get a spatula and you smash it down super thin.
Okay.
And you're not cooking this to rare.
Right.
You're cooking this to caramelize.
Yeah.
You do two patties per burger.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I had two patties per burger. The girls made a sriracha mayo sauce that we slathered on the buns, on the brioche buns.
Right. Nice.
Incredible.
I love it.
And then we put those on the grill to you know, get toasty.
Right.
Right?
Oh, wow.
And so two smash burgers down, when the edges start turning brown, coarse salt, pepper, and cracked black pepper, flip them, put the orange thick-cut American cheese on each patty,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And then cook the other, you know, so then cook the other side.
Do you have a certain brand of American cheese that you use?
Land O'Lakes is fine, but thick-cut, but the orange one, not the yellow one.
Yeah,
and Craig says that's called yellow American cheese, but I'm like, yellow American cheese is yellow,
yellow
and this is orange. I'm like, maybe it is,
right.
But what do you call the one that is yellow? So we had this conversation yesterday. I'm gonna have to ask the butcher, the lady at Stop and Shop, what am I supposed to ask? Because I know I always ask for orange American cheese,
right.
But am I saying it wrong?
Right.
I'm not sure. So anyway, so first layer, bun slathered with the sriracha mayo, toasted on the grill, right?
Right.
Second layer, bib lettuce. Boston bib lettuce, you know, that green, so that you have it underneath the burger so the burger doesn't get soggy, right?
Yep.
Collect the juices.
Bib lettuce is really nice.
Oh, it's perfect, right?
Yeah.
So then smash burger with the melted American cheese dripping down the side.
Right.
Like, so sexy, right? Next, two thinly sliced spicy pickles.
Pickles.
Crisscrossed.
Now, do you use...
Vlasic. I had Vlasic.
You Vlasic.
They make a spicy one that are already pre-cut, super thin, and they're delicious. I would have used Maitland Farms.
But
these are already cut, and
I
just want them to be super cold and that little contrast kind of deal. Then the next patty with American cheese melted on top of that. Then sautéed onions on top of that we had pre-sautéed.
Right.
And we brought. Because you can bring all our ingredients.
Right, because you don't have a whole lot. You didn't have a whole lot of time.
No, we didn't have a lot of time. And I let Peter get started. Peter got started before me. He sautéed his onions there, so he started like 10 minutes before me because he didn't have his onions sautéed.
Right.
So it was whatever. It's all the same. So then topped with the other bun. And Eloise, her idea, she buttered the tops of the brioche buns, slightly buttered. So that they were glistening. Glistening. There was so... And then Eric gave me the burger spears.
Okay.
So they held it all together nicely. It was... They were constructed perfectly.
So
they were decadent. They were succulent. They were delicious.
I want to hear the audience's response. Like,
Karen Hansen told me it was the best burger she had ever eaten.
In her whole entire life.
So it's funny. Safathia, who's a judge, who I love, Safathia.
Right.
First thing she announces, we put this stuff in front of her. They better not be spicy, because I don't do spice, she says. And I'm looking at her saying, this is a barbecue. We know that this is a barbecue competition, and you're a judge. So are you going to grade us based on that? Or are you going to, you know what I mean? Because, you know, this is an incredible, and it wasn't too spicy. Like, we put in the sriracha, more for color, to make that orangey beautiful thing, the pickles were spicy, but you could have ate around the pickles.
Right.
Whatever. I'm not creating a burger for a burger competition based around someone that doesn't like spicy food.
And also with the pickles, you can just remove the pickles.
Right. And she did, and it was fine. It was kind of predetermined that this was going to be a tie anyway, and which was fine. Peter did a great job with his stuff.
Yeah, because the goal is you're raising money for Alzheimer's.
Right. So the fourth judge ended up being Jeff Wilkes from Glass Tech.
Okay.
He bid to be the fourth judge, and that money goes to Alzheimer's research.
You should have more judges. If they do it next year, they should have more judges.
I know, right? That's not a bad idea.
Yeah,
then we have to feed more people, though.
Yeah, but
we only have so much grill space.
Right. Could you make six?
We could tweak it a little bit. It was so fun. The Zappa family, they are just so classy and so great, and they did great. I didn't see I was finishing
so
up I didn't
up
see his
doing,
tuna dish
yeah.
But I'm sure it was fantastic. And his burger looked great too. The point was, we had a great time.
You had a great time.
With my daughters.
He had a great time
with his family.
I hope you get to do this again.
Oh my God. Like, the girls have not stopped talking about it. They want to enter like every barbecue competition known to man. And Warren Waugh, Sedalia Schwartz, like all the people. Nicole was facilitated getting and me in touch with them.
Was Nicole taking pictures?
Yeah, Nicole took a bunch of pictures.
I haven't seen any pictures she posted yet.
She sent me a bunch of pictures, but they were downsized because she sent a ton of them through her messaging app or something. So they're all fuzzy. I'm going to ask her for the... I hope she hasn't deleted them. We'll see. Anyway, I couldn't be more proud. Couldn't be more happy for that experience, to be able to have that with my daughters. And I'm so thankful for the friendship of Warren. Warren and all the people from the Bluefin Blowout, Drew Hale, Rob White, Sedalia. Sedalia Schwartz is an absolute beast. I put her on the level with my sister of, just being able to pull anything off. My sister's that way. You know, assigned with the impossible task, these are the type of people that will get it done.
Sedalia is
awesome.
And who's doing all the social media?
Nicole. So I talked to I'm so sorry that I forget Sedalia's assistant's name, who's they're the marketing team that's officially on Warren's payroll for Lion Walk.
Okay.
Nicole was brought in to help with the photography, also the social media.
Okay.
Sedalia's assistant told me that their social media doubled. Right. When Nicole took it over for this thing.
Wow.
Doubled.
Wow.
That's huge.
Well, that's huge.
That's huge.
Great.
Yeah, so shout out to Nicole.
And the photos have been wonderful.
Oh,
the photos have been wonderful.
Great. So. She's great. I think Nicole has a second career coming as a event photographer. I really do. Anyway, I don't want to go on too long about that, but I think that Sean Cranston's team won. When we left, they were still in the lead. Doghouse was the name of the boat at the Bluefin Blowout.
Okay. So what's the biggest one that's been landed so far?
I think it was 680 something.
So that's the one that came in on Friday night?
On the first Friday night. Yeah.
Okay.
And it held up.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of fish. There was like way more fish than have ever been landed.
Before.
Which was great for viewing. The kids loved it. Everybody loved it.
What do they attribute that to?
They moved the time of the year when I think they doubled the number of boats. So it was a bunch of factors.
Oh, okay.
But it was such a great event. Such a great event. The vendors that were there, Joe Fish, my good, we were talking about Joe earlier.
Yeah.
He was there selling his prints. Good friend from college, KC Iacono, they live on Briar Neck, at the end of Briar Neck. Her and her sister, I'm not sure if her sister's in on it or not, started a company, Salt Island Salsa, and they were there selling their salsa, and their salsa is incredible.
Oh, really?
I did a post about that. Wow. It's going up at 7 o'clock tonight.
And that's a great name, Salsa.
Salt Island Salsa. Isn't it such a no-brainer?
No.
So they're like, so George Iacono and Casey and I graduated from Bentley together in '89,
okay,
and we were really good friends. Still good friends. So George's brother, Greg Iacono, is married to Enza Sanfilippo.
Okay.
And she makes the lobster trap,
the
wine trap.
The condiment holders.
Condiment holders, the wine holders, all that.
Okay.
So their family is like this industrious family, and they were just sweet people. But I'm putting a link to their Salt Island salsa.
Wow! Oh, I can't wait to read their post.
Yeah. But that Bluefin Blowout, like, it's amazing. Mile Marker and Cape Ann Marina does an incredible job with this event. There's a ton of people there. It is well organized, well oiled, fun. They're doing a ton of business. They're bringing a ton of people into town with a ton of money, dropping it all over the place.
And it just gets bigger every year.
It gets bigger every year, and it's not just it's not just for wealthy boat owners. It's totally family family is totally family friendly.
Right.
Totally family friendly.
Yeah.
I just can't say enough. So there was a cornhole tournament in the middle. Kate Madeline and I were like right on the sidelines. We watched like the final three rounds, and you'd think like, oh, who wants to watch the cornhole tournament? But we're like, we were so into it. We were cheering for the guys, high fiving them. It was like that movie with the bowling Kingpin, where it's like this. There's this. I did not realize there's a whole cornhole subculture of like these guys that live, breathe, eat, shit and sleep cornhole.
Oh, wow.
There's I think it's called the Patriot Cornhole League or something like that, and they have shirts and everything. Dude, they have guys with all cornhole swag on. Like the guy had like wristbands up around his forearm and stuff, and and the sweat. These guys were all in on cornhole, and to watch it was
so fun.
I just got a notification it's not going to help our viewers now, but I'll have to retweet this. Safatia just sent me a message that Wingersheek is closed.
Oh.
Let me just see what...
Because it's filled up.
Wingersheek is filled up. Well, at this point, when people get this, it's not going to matter.
I know, put it on the post.
Yeah, I'll retweet. I always retweet her stuff, so she'll know that it gets redone.
Okay.
But so we got there relatively early, so it was and the kids, what else they love to do, mile marker pool. They were in the pool for like 2.5 hours.
Wow. That's awesome.
Wingersheek closed to non-residents. Signboards have been programmed to alert traffic. Police cruiser is in place at Concord and Atlantic, turning traffic around. Good Harbor Beach closed to non-residents. So
good.
They're taking people's... suggestions. That road isn't completely bananas.
Well, a couple times I've driven Liv and her friends down and
to Wingersheek?
Yeah.
Why don't they go there instead of going to Niles?
Once in a while they just like to mix it up. You know how kids are. So
not traffic. I would not bother.
No, what I'd do is I would like drive part way and then they would walk the rest of the way. But when I'm sitting there, I'm going... Because you can drop them off on the road, and then it's just like a little short little. It's not that long of a walk, especially for people that age, right? And then you just turn around and leave everybody else in traffic. But the thing is, I would be there, and I'd be like, "What about the residents who live here? How can they deal with that every warm beach day?"
So you celebrated.
Oh, you were gonna.
So you have someone very special in your life is in town,
right.
And you got to go to a very special place for dinner last night.
That's right. It's my darling daughter Liv's 30th birthday, and we celebrated it. One of several celebrations. We have more celebrating to do Monday night, but so we went to Duckworth last night for a wonderful dinner, and I just wishing my sweetest, best friend daughter.
Your favorite child.
No,
said your sweetest
best friend daughter.
Okay.
And
yeah.
I have my
favorite child.
I have my sweetest wonderful son.
We tease. This is the ongoing teasing.
I know.
Yes.
I adore both my.
You
children.
See Alex all the time though, and you got barely see Liv because she's
Wait,
away.
But
can I ask you a question?
I don't see Alex that much because he works so much.
He does.
He works so much, but I mean, I adore my son. He is like.
He's amazing.
He is an amazing dad.
Mm.
I mean, I just my heart swells every time I see him with his daughter. Cause
so can
amazing.
I ask you a question?
Sure.
I'm sorry. I know you love Alex, and he's amazing. But so when Liv moved away, right?
Yeah.
What? So Eric Lord and his daughter just moved to San Diego.
Okay.
And he's like, he called me up. He was an emotional mess.
Aww.
Because she lived and she's been in Boston for a while. It's not like he gets to see her all the time. She's older,
right.
what I mean?
Right.
But he's like, it just hit him. Oh my God. So what was that like the day that she kind of moved out of Gloucester
and went to college?
Not to college, because college, they're coming back. When she goes, like in his head, she's going to San Diego and there's not going to be any reason to ever come back here other than like visits once in a while.
Well, the hardest part for me was when she went to college. So that was, as much as I, was so happy and elated and, it was, was very hard getting into the conservatory at BU, and it was, you know, and she worked really, really hard for many years to do that, and that was the hard, that was for me the hardest, that was the hardest move.
Because after that, she ended up going, New York isn't that far.
New York isn't that far, and she was, so she went to BU for 4 years, then she lived at home for 6 months before she went to graduate school in New York, and I would still go down there all the time to New York. And then when she and Matt moved to California, that was different because, you know.
So that one wasn't as hard for you?
No, because I flew, I went, like, even though that she moved to California, she was coming back, like, once a month for work and stuff that. And he was, and I went out there.
Did they still have their place in New York when they moved to California?
No. Yeah, no. They, and then they... you know, then she's still in the place that they had together.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so when she talked...
So for you, college was the initial moving away was the toughest.
Because, like, for me, I have a very fragmented, scattered family, and it's a lot of sadness over that. I mean, I have a lot of personal sadness over that. And so for me, that was like, oh, no, the family, our family life is ending, but it didn't really.
Yeah.
And so that's a beautiful thing for me, like, you know what I mean, that my kids want to come home, you know, love being with their mom and dad at this, even at this age. So that is a very joyful, gratifying thing for me.
So you took her to Duckworth's.
So we went to Duckworth's, and I gave her
That's your special place.
That's our very special, like, I would eat there just any, you know what I mean? Like,
I know,
it's our special place, and it's a place we just love to go because I adore the people that work there.
Yeah.
I mean, so now we have all these sisters in the neighborhood. So we have Michelle, and her sister just moved here from North Carolina.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right across the street. And then Jillian, do you know Mandy, the mom of Pilar and Frida? They live in the Sacred Cod House, married to Jeff. Mandy's sister just moved here. So it's just so awesome. Like, so, anyways, it's just such a family.
From where? Where did they move here from?
From California.
Okay. So I just want to say something right now.
Yeah.
Okay. This is going to be a little off topic, but I have to say it. You know, there's the people, the anti-development people, right, that say, oh, you can't build these, you can't renovate these places into, or you can't put condos here, you can't put anything here because, you know, it's going to be gentrification.
Right.
You can't control, like
you can't.
And look, these people are, you're very happy that these people moved here, right?
Yeah.
And they're wonderful, beautiful people that moved here. We're happy, I embrace them, you embrace them.
Right.
Everybody embraces them.
Right.
You can't pick and choose. Like, in my head, like, you know, all these people, every time there's a development that wants to come up, they're it's going to gentrify.
Right.
We don't have, unless we just want to make it intentionally a shithole, people are coming here.
Right.
So it's,
I agree with you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, like, but, and also I see other things too. Like, there was a recent article in the paper about, folks wanting to put solar panels on their antique house, and people were all up in arms about that as well. Like, it's a historical house, how could you do that? But they'd already renovated it like 10 years earlier, right?
Yeah.
So
you can pick and choose.
Right?
They can pick and choose. If it's the super wealthy couple, we don't want them here.
Right.
But we want the you know, the kind of like earthy, crunchy, like really nice, you know, these families here,
You can't control.
You're not going to control.
You know, the most you can do is, I mean, I wish that there was more housing.
Wish there was more condensed housing.
Yeah.
The usual suspects are, you know, the 90% of the people that I saw are all happy about the Fuller, they're going to put housing up there and stuff like that.
Right.
And the usual suspects are up in arms. What's that going to do to the traffic there and this, that, and the other thing? And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I'm like, I might be wrong, but this may be an avenue for people that lived in Gloucester that had big houses,
right,
and the kids are out of their house to be able to downsize still live in Gloucester at this at this development over there, and maybe pass on their house to their kids.
Right.
Or maybe, you know, open it up, because if there's more stuff on the market, more people can, you know, it, it controls the prices, right?
Right, that's a really good point.
But, you know, the way they look at it, any development is, you know, God forbid, so, this, what it is the fact is, they're scared to death somebody's going to make some money.
Yeah.
That it, at the root of it.
Well, also, I think people, like, I'll never forget how horrified somebody on our street was. I mean, she's passed away now. Because we had a neighborhood street street tree planting, and we had many meetings to ask people, like, how do you feel about this? And we never heard from her until the day we were planting the trees on our street, and she was calling the DPW and wondered why her tax dollars were going towards planting trees on the street. But I later learned that she was afraid her taxes would go up because, you know what I mean? Because it got nicer. So I think that that's part of the fear that people have. I mean, it's very.
Did I tell you the story that I went to? I went to the Beauport Hotel, the bar at the Beauport Hotel.
No.
And sitting at like a couple seats down from me was one of the main people that were at every single meeting, screaming heretic, like.
Yeah.
Like that. This was going to be the ruination of the world. This hotel, and they were sitting. I'm like, how to even,
Amazing.
Balls on you to fucking even show up at this bar
that's
after
amazing.
The fucking, all the bullshit, all the you know, shit you stirred on this place.
Wow.
And I also, I saw some pictures on the blog just recently of some other people vehemently against the blog on Pavilion Beach, which has never looked so clean and cleared
and
off and everything else.
Right.
Like, my God.
Wow.
It's just
So,
I got off track. I'm sorry.
Things have
what did you order at Duckworth's?
Well, I almost ordered the quail, but Liv was ordering the quail, which allowed me to order the lobster risotto. And Tom had the new haddock dish.
So tough to get away from that lobster risotto if you go there. So
I know.
Tough.
There were like five things that I was like, I want to try the duck confit, you know. Mm. But anyway, and then they had a new dessert. This fabulous lemon meringue pie with the meringue like this high. Oh, we want to know the sweetest thing. Like, Michelle had to do something and her husband had to do something. So her kids, we walk in.
Atticus
and Meadow and their cousin, Jackson, who now lives across the street from them.
Oh, God.
They're all sitting, all dressed up, their hair slicked back. All sitting there having dinner together.
Oh, because the parents were out.
Yes, because the parents, because Michelle was working.
Right.
And Ken loves to feed the kids.
Oh, my God.
And Michelle tells her kids, you have to order it exactly the way Ken has it on the menu.
Right.
So I said to Meadow, like, what did you have for dinner? And she was like, oh, I had the bistro frise ubiquitous salad and the duck confit. And I was like, okay.
Oh.
And then they all had desserts, and they were. It was just the sweetest thing to say. We're very blessed to have like a little community, you know, neighborhood place like that. It's really extraordinary. I don't think there's too many neighbor. I mean, you wouldn't see a place like this in a neighborhood in Wellesley or Weston. You know what I mean? It's not. Maybe on their main, main business area, but not just a beautiful little French neighbor. You know. I don't know, it's just...
No, it's awesome.
Tell me
about... So, just by coincidence, I have to give credit. I got to look it up on my phone. Talk about... Yesterday, we had two posts back-to-back, including blue herons, and it was not by design.
It wasn't by design, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So, go ahead and tell me the story about your phone.
Well, so, I came onto the beach, and I'm like, I'm filming the plovers, and this peregrine falcon that was being dive-bombed by Lise Terns. So I'm not really paying attention, and the peregrine falcon was pretty scary. So, but then I turn around, and there's these three great blue herons strolling along. I mean, they're just like, there was people doing things, there was people swimming in the water, there was people exercising, and they were just like literally just strolling on the beach. And this woman who was doing exercises ran, like, she's like running, and she's running towards them, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what are the herons going to do? They're all going to fly away, right? And then she
she's running towards them, and then she turns around and runs back the other direction. So she's like running back and forth, and she's totally does not
oblivious.
See,
I don't know how you're oblivious to blue herons.
They're huge. Yeah. They're huge. So like 4.5, 5 feet tall. I don't know how tall they are because I've never been that close. But anyways, it was super fun to see. And yours was a.
I'm feverishly trying to find in my email to give credit because we were at the blowout and I posted it on the fly.
So somebody sent you a picture and it was a very dead looking great blue heron that had been dead for a while, but you said that's a new bass that was in its mouth.
Yeah, the bass, the striper did not look like it was
old.
Jesus, you know who sent it to me? I should know. Bip. So it must have been on cranes.
Oh, must have been on cranes. Wow.
Yeah, so Bippy sent it. I have to go back in and edit the photo.
Yeah, so but I can tell that the bird had been there for a while because their feathers are much darker.
Oh, really?
Those feathers were really pale.
Ah.
Or it could have just been very sunny there as well. Okay, so there's also another beautiful bird on our shores right now, little blue herons, and they're smaller than great blue herons, that's why they're called little blues, and their babies are pure white. Ooh. So,
would a educated person confuse those with a
snowy egret? Yes, they would.
Because snowy egrets we have all over the place
now,
right?
Right. So little blue herons, you see more at ponds, hanging out in trees right now. They're at freshwater ponds a lot right now. The best way to tell, I'm gonna put up a post about how to tell herons apart because there's I found a really good poster. If you look at herons' bills, that's one way you can tell.
Because
like a little blue heron has like a little bit of a recurve to the bill, where like a great blue heron has a much straighter, heavier bill. Mm-hmm. And then you by color and so little blue herons are more the size of snowy egrets. They're in between great blue herons and snowy egrets, but their babies are pure white. But there's also a calico stage, which is amazing, and it's black and white. They're like blue, deep blue and white, so they like black and white. So I got this amazing photo of an adult, and they're beautiful. They're dark bluish gray with a reddish maroon head, and a calico and a pure white baby, all in the same.
The one that you posted the other day.
Those are great blue herons.
Great blue herons.
Those
and
are
how
different.
Tall would you say that you those know, were? They looked enormous, but I didn't know. I couldn't tell if they were enormous if it was the perspective because the lady was so far in the background.
No,
the
they really are enormous.
Wow.
They really are enormous.
That's
like,
cool.
I don't know off the top of my head, but I'd say when their necks are long, it's at least
how
four.
How often do you see them around
half,
here? Are they coming more and more? Do you see more and more like everything else?
Yeah, I think so. And also, you see them more this time of year, but I honestly have never seen three together like that. You know what I mean? It was just, especially right on the beach, I'll see them, kind of at the edge of a pond or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Not just like right out in the open like that.
I know you have to go. I just want you to tell me, you mentioned the Our Lady of Good Voyage Carillon Bell concerts have returned. When can people listen for them?
So if you're at home or anywhere, practically anywhere, downtown or East Gloucester, if the wind's going the right direction, you can hear the Carillon Bells at 5:30 every Saturday for the next couple of weeks through, I think, the first week in September. Luann Palazzola is the carilloner, and they're just beautiful. But the best place to hear them is right down by Our Lady of Good Voyage. Like, my hope is one of these days I'm going to record it and have that.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, just have that in the background for any, film projects or whatever. Oh. You know what I mean? Just have some B-roll of the carillon.
You could even you could make it into a post. You could take a nice photo of Our Lady at the right, at the nice and light,
right.
and then just you know put it on YouTube with the background of the
music.
Yeah.
Just that would be beautiful.
I think so.
Yeah, we should do that. I'll do that.
Awesome.
I'll do that.
All right, Gloucestercast 291 is in the books.
Wow.
Thanks, Kim. Thank you.